Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We're so excited to be back here on our second day. Well, technically, like, our fifth or sixth, because we did Romans chapter 8 last week, but a new section of Romans chapter 8 as we're following the lead of the Spirit, feeding on God's Word, and the Spirit of God is just carving out for us a deeper and deeper and deeper understanding of who we are in Christ. And friends, we're going through this, and I've been so convicted to go through this because, honestly, we are in a spiritual battle. We really are. From everything that's coming around us, the thoughts that come inside of our head. I don't know about you, but I have been in a season of battling for my identity, a season of battling the lies of the enemy, a season of pushing back against the gates of hell that are trying to prevail over you because the devil, the evil one, wants you off of your assignment. Do you know that God has given you an assignment? He's given you people to touch. He's given you a family to love. He's given you a way to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And the devil, because God has given you the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, wants you off of that assignment. And so I feel like my car, friends, maybe you're listening to this in your car, has been a place of spiritual battle. It's been a place of worship. It's been a place of declaring these passages that we're going through. And so when I sit down here with you, I'm not just like, oh, this is a great passage. Like, sounds so awesome. I'm like coming from a place of like, I'm declaring this in my car. You know, I've been listening to this song by this band Gap Worship. And it's actually a Nigerian worship group. And the Africans just have such a beautiful way of worshiping the Lord just from this deep, deep place. And I promise, we're going to get going here with the word in a second. But I've been listening to the song called Seek First, and it's a very simple song. And the verses are just like, you know, we've worshiped idols, Lord, and we repent and we come back to you. But I love the chorus because it's like this battle cry. And it goes like this, says, we'll fix our eyes on the things above the earth. And we will set our minds on the one who paid it all. And it's this declaration, and this is what we've been reading in Romans, setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, setting our minds on who we are in Christ, declaring, because I've been baptized, because Jesus lives in me, I'm not powerful, I'm not leaning on my own power, I'm not leaning on who I am, I'm leaning into God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, that I've been made a living tabernacle. And so the powers and principalities that are coming against me, the spirits of negativity, the spirits of discouragement, the things that are trying to entrap me and get me down, the suffering in my life, I can set my mind on the one who paid it all. I can fix my mind on Jesus. And it's not a way of making me feel better. It's a tool in battle to go against the enemy and say, I'm deciding to live a new life in the Spirit and to follow my master wherever he goes, regardless of what the enemy throws at me. And the reason that I'm saying this is I just feel convicted as we're reading Romans 8 is, friends, we don't just need to listen to this. Like, if you're listening to this while you're driving or while you're running or doing whatever and being like, oh, this is so good. Yes, like, I love when Rachel gets fired up, but to say, I need this fire in my heart and I want you to take this word that we're going to go through, friends, and use it to, one, set your mind on the King of Kings. Set your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who suffered before you, and use this word that he's feeding you with to go to battle. This word that we're in, friends, what if you believed it? What if you believed it so much that you lived it? What if? What if you took it in and walked the walk? What if you used it as your sword? What if the enemy came to harass you and you said, no, not today, because the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And because of that, in my weakness, I am strong. It's not platitudes. It's clinging to the cross. It's clinging to him. Amen. So let's read our psalm and then get into a couple verses that we're going to go into today. We're going to read Psalm 2 in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. I'm going to stop there. There's so much that we can read in there. But Lord, we just come to you with these few verses from the Psalms. And we see in the world, even in our own pride and our own egos, we set ourselves against you. The kings of the earth want to rule with power. They set themselves against you. And sometimes it feels like the world is crumbling. But we pray into the psalm and we sit with you, Lord, this comfort that you have set your king on Zion. You have set Jesus as the ruler over all the nations, as the ruler over all the earth. Everything that happens down to each and every suffering, each and every problem is within your providence, and Jesus Christ is in charge. We ask that you would set him as Lord over our life on his holy hill with power and authority. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to read what we read yesterday because there's a verse that we didn't go through, and then we'll see if we can continue on and get to the next section. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh. Say wherever you are, I am not in the flesh. I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God really dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we went on. This is interesting because it's kind of contrast to what we were saying yesterday. Paul says in the verse yesterday, he says, although your bodies are wasting away, although your bodies are subject to death, Jesus, through the power of his Spirit, makes you alive with his righteousness. And so what does justification do? It justifies you and sanctifies you. It brings you into the saving act of God. You're cleansed of sin and you're made righteous through the blood of Jesus. This is the act of justification. This is the beginning of our process of being made holy. And it's not just like, oh, you're justified, you're automatically going to heaven, but it's the beginning of that process that allows us to be made holy. And so we see that he says, your bodies are dead because of righteousness, but then Paul, or your bodies are dead because of sin, but your bodies are alive because of righteousness. But now Paul gives us even more hope. He's saying, and if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. We've said this a lot. I think I've said this every single week on the show. You need to believe this. I need to believe this. Do you know how much our lives would change? Do you know how much your world would change? How many people would come to the faith? What the church would look like? What the world would look like if the followers of Jesus believed? I may be weak. I may be broken. I may be lacking in courage. I may be lacking in confidence. I may not have the right words, all of these different things. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon Jesus in that tomb. And he made, the Spirit of God made a dead man live again. The same breath that Jesus breathed on Lazarus in his tomb came upon Jesus. The Spirit of God, the love between the Father and the Son comes and with the dynamite power of God raises Jesus from dead to life. He makes him alive again. That same power, the actual power that makes dead men walk out of the grave, that power lives in you. That's what lives in you. And we need grace to believe it. We need faith to believe it. We need to go deeper in this reality that it's not about us and what we're doing and our own strength, but this is what I'm leaning on. When I get up in the morning to believe that, Jesus, give me the faith. Father, give me the faith to see, to know, to live in a power, not that is based on my own ego, not that's based on what I can do, but is based on the power that you've given me by free gift alone, by my baptism, by my justification, by my sanctification, that you have given me the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the power that dwells in me. Do you believe it? And if we believe it, faith gives rise to works. Faith bears good fruit because there needs to be now signs of resurrected life. There needs to be a deepening of faith as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that the one who has conquered death is with me. The one who raised Jesus from the dead lives and breathes and is the breath in my lungs. It's not outside of me, but that I am a tabernacle of the living God, and I am now the Holy of Holies, walking, receiving the Eucharist, living in the power over death itself, not because what I've done, but because what Jesus has done. This is the reality of what you have in Christ Jesus. This is why we're called to live in the supernatural. This is why it's we're called to believe with faith what Jesus has done for us, because this changes things. It's not a dead faith. And I'm tired of living a dead faith. I'm tired of you living a dead faith. We are made alive together with Christ. Paul says, remember that hopelessness that you had, that your body was deteriorating, but your spirit was alive? Well, guess what? Because the Spirit of God lives in you, even your body will be raised to eternal life with him. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. Your spirit has a new destiny. Your body has a new destiny. They will come together as one and walk in the resurrection power of Jesus. So amazing, friends. God wants to change your life with this reality. And I'm not talking about big feelings. I'm not talking about fireworks going off. I'm talking about actually being rooted in the reality of the faith, that this isn't a self-behavior adjustment program. It's not a self-help program. It's not a therapy program. It's not just giving me tools to set up camp here. It's a reality of saying, I am living for another world, but that world, I have access to it now, and the Spirit of God lives in me and is giving me power to live a resurrected life, not just a different life, not just a better life, but a new life. God wants to give you a new life. And guess what? Your external life might not look any different. You might still be doing carpool pickup. You might still be making meals. You might still be studying. But God wants to make explosive dynamite go off in your heart and for you to live in the power of the resurrection. God bless you, friends. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in these passages.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.